Hallo julle, welkom by Sondagdiens. Welcome to our Sunday service. As usual, it's good to see you. And I need to be honest, I really miss you guys and I miss our Sunday get-togethers. I really miss corporate worship. I miss those times that we flow in the Spirit and the Lord speaks through His whole church to us. I can truly honestly say that I will not forsake the gathering of the saints in the future. It's something that I highly value, but I also just miss that chirps and the quirky things in between. That realness when we wait before we start the service and everybody is just chatting and connecting and coffeeing and reminiscing and chilling. I really miss that. I really miss doing just real life on Sunday mornings with you guys. And so please hear my heart when I say this is by no means a replacement for the fellowship that we have and the fellowship that we ought to have, I believe, biblically. And so let's pray that this is only for a time being and that the Lord will open up the right doors when it is safe and wise for all, so that we can really get together and fellowship again in his presence. I really enjoy that. And I really look forward to that. And I trust you praying with me. We are busy with the series on the Holy Spirit. And last week we said, it's just part and partial of who we are as a church community. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. It is, secondly, also prophetically accurate, we believe, as to the things that the Lord has said to us. He said to us in February, shaking is coming and then a new birth, new life, and revival, so to speak, that we trust for. The theme for this year is inside out. In other words, it's the Spirit, it's the kingdom, it's the truth of Christ on our inside first, on our inside man that need to be lived out. And not religiously in the negative sense where we need to try to get the kingdom on our inside. No, the kingdom happens through the Holy Spirit, through the grace and the working of the Word of God on our inside. And then it starts manifesting in our outside. And also for our church, we can't just be in our buildings and in our homes. We need to reflect that which the Lord gives us on the outside. And so sharing around the Holy Spirit, I believe, is just in line with what the Lord wants to do in this season. He is a God that is personal to you and me, and then also a God that leads us corporately. And so I trust that we will strike that balance in the Holy Spirit in this time. And so I invite you yet again to journey with me as we get to know the Holy Spirit better. I don't know where you're at. I don't even know when you're going to listen to this, but I trust that there'll be something for each and everyone. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, Father God, Jesus Christ, we thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, that you're not caught unaware of this season. And Lord, you know every single person that listens to this video message and when they're listening to this. And I pray that you'll speak into every heart. Holy Spirit, I also want to thank you that by the grace of God, through the fact that Christ ascended again as we heard again this week, you are with us and amongst us, and you are Emmanuel, God's Spirit with us. Thank you that I don't have to share on you and share about you in my own strength because I can't. So Holy Spirit, will you come and share through me? Will you come and touch every home, every cell phone, tablet, TV, laptop, every ear and every heart through this message? And will you truly come and stir a faith? Will you open up blind eyes? Will you heal hurting hearts? Will you lift up those that need to be lifted up? We don't want to run on. We want to quiet down our hearts and our souls. And we want to say, Holy Spirit, have your way in this moment we spend together over the airwaves. In Jesus' name, have your way. And likewise, we thank you, Father God, that we bind the works of the enemy, wherever anybody is listening, bind the works of the enemy. We take every thought captive, bring it unto obedience to Christ, and we say, Jesus Christ is Lord, wherever this message goes out by the Spirit of God. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, as I said before, I really love the presence of the Lord. And yes, I know He's ever present, but there's times and moments where our hearts, our souls are more in tune, as it were, that we can hear the still small voice. We can literally feel Him physically and His presence. And in those moments, He changes lives. He changes the atmosphere. He changes families. He changes businesses. He changes churches and ministries. And He can change a country and it can change the nations. And I hope the Lord stirs a deep faith in our heart in this series as we look to Him for help. We said last week, we all have a heart's cry of SOS momentarily, but then also for salvation. And so I hope you've been hitting that button saying, Lord, help her, Holy Spirit, please help me to do life and to do this season and to go through this season of a pandemic and the things that are facing this world. And I hope you are really tuning in to the Holy Spirit in this time, because I, and I believe you, want to know Him fully. I don't want to know the Lord in little measures. And one day when I get home, realize that I've missed out on so much that I could have known and could have done with Him, and how many other lives my life could have impacted. And so let's trust Him for the fullness of His truth, the fullness of His revelation, the fullness of His, the power of His Holy Spirit, the fullness of His dynamos power. We're going to look at that in the week or so to come. But let's trust Him for the fullness of the Christ in me, the Holy Spirit helper, counselor, standby, advocate, being with me, the fullness. Will your heart cry with my heart, Lord, I want to know your fullness. I want to know your fullness. I've mentioned this verse, and it just comes to mind now again, in Jeremiah 9 verse 23. This is what the Lord says. The wise man must not boast in his wisdom. The strong man must not boast in his strength. The wealthy man must not boast in his wealth, but the one who boasts should boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Yahweh, showing faithful love, justice and righteousness on the earth, for a delight in these things. And so, in short, I really love that verse saying that in your life you can chase after, you can value, you can prioritize many things, and then you can in fact boast in the things that you've attained, great strength, great wealth, great wisdom. But there's one thing that is really valuable, that is eternal, and that is what we are chasing after in a godly way, and that is to know and understand God. Not just to know about, but to know God. And that's part of this morning's message. And then we're going to look at the person of the Holy Spirit in just two elements. We, as I said last week, are going to take small bites as we journey together, so that everybody can journey together with us. And that we can inevitably live the fullness of Christ, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of our calling, the fullness of the measure of faith that we've been given, as individuals, but also corporately, as the Lord leads us and graces us in this season. And I really hope your heart is crying out the same thing. If not, that's also cool. Then you can just honestly say, Lord, I've kind of lost my taste. My taste buds are numb for your things and your word and your spirit, and just acknowledge that in honesty. We can be raw and real here. Just acknowledge it and say, Lord, come and stir again the hunger. Bring back that thirst that I once had for your righteousness, for your presence, for your word, for your spirit and for worship, Lord. Something has numbed it. Something has stolen that. Please come and restore that. And He's such a good God. And graciously, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, will come and help you to follow the Helper. Even more so. And so I'm trusting for that grace. Now, just foundationally, when we look at the person of the Holy Spirit, I believe two things are very important. And I've wrestled with this week, and it's really not an easy job. Firstly, this is not natural to me. I miss our times together. I miss the fellowship, as I said, of the saints, the gathering together in the corporate setting. I miss that. But as it were, we have this situation, and I'm trusting that the Lord works in us powerfully. And so this week I've really been wrestling with a couple of things, but what I just realized is that I can share only that much of the Holy Spirit, the person. Even though the Holy Spirit is here with me and you, I can share only that much with you. And I'm trusting for a hunger and a deep thirst in your life to get to know Him personally. And then two things foundationally, as I said, that I believe is important. One is that I believe it's a time to know. It is a time to know. So when we think Holy Spirit, person of the Holy Spirit, and when we look at the Word, we want to know, who is this person of the Holy Spirit? I believe firstly it's a time to know. Now, just bringing back that back home, if you can think of your bestie. I don't know if I've got a bestie. I probably have good friends, but I don't have a bestie. But I've heard my kids talk about besties, and I've seen on social media people refer to besties, and other kinds of weird and wonderful things. But you've got a good friend, you've got a bestie, you've got a sister, a brother, a mother, a father, a great friend. There's one thing to say that you know something about them, and then it's a totally different thing to say that you know them. So you might tell me about this good friend that you have and what color they like and what food they love and what books they read or how well they've excelled at school, and I can learn a lot about this friend of yours. Yet if I do not meet this person, if I don't build relationally with this person, this friend of yours, and if I do not build a trust with this person, I will always just know about your good friend, but I might never know your good friend. And so there's a massive difference between knowing about and truly knowing. We see in Genesis already that Adam knew Eve. There was a deep intimacy. And that knowing is to see. It's almost to see one's nakedness, to see another person for who they really are. And so, likewise, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I can maybe share some things and teach you, and we can look together at the Word, and we can learn a lot cognitively in our heads. We can learn a lot to know about the Holy Spirit, to know about the Spirit of God. But it's only between you and Him that you can truly know Him intimately. So I want to encourage you to maybe just take stock quickly and say, Holy Spirit, I don't just want to know about you. I want to know you. And that knowing doesn't only happen on a Sunday morning. It happens 24/7, every day of your life. And it will keep on going and going and going. Because as we saw in Jeremiah, we don't want to be a people that boast in our knowledge, our wealth, and our strength. But at the end of the day, we want to stand before the Lord and realize that He knows us and we know Him one day. And that we can boast in the fact that we knew Him and understood Him as far and as wide as we possibly could in our own humanity. And so be encouraged by that. The second thing foundationally that I believe is hand in hand with that is that the Lord said to us, awake the wise virgins. And you'll be reminded in Matthew 25, the bridegroom returns and the virgins wake up and they realize, sure, half of us were wise and we've got oil in our lamps and we can go in with the bridegroom, and yet the other five were unwise, the foolish ones who didn't have oil. And I believe this so beautifully fits in with knowing about or truly knowing. Knowing about Christ, a God, and the Holy Spirit, or truly knowing Him relationally, having our oil lamps full. Because the sad thing is, in verse 11, Matthew 25, Jesus says there, or the bridegroom then says there, afterward, the virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But He answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. And there's a big emphasis in the series on knowing about and truly knowing. And I can only maybe help you with knowing about. But all of your life, every day as you posture your heart towards Christ, His Word and His Holy Spirit, you can truly get to know Him intimately. And I would love you to do the latter. Yes, we need to know about, but we build upon that to truly know intimately. As you know your good friend, as you know your mother, father, brother, or who it might be, let us venture together not to be a people that know about Him, but to truly know Him, and to be that wise virgins that have our oil lamps full. Now, I said this week we are talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. Like a person, the Holy Spirit comes and does life with us. We saw last week so beautifully, Jesus said, I have to ascend. I need to go, because then I'll ask the Father and He'll give you the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to be with you. And so the Spirit of Christ is still with us and amongst us. We need to have humble hearts and ask Him to journey with us. And then we also need to be in a space where we don't necessarily have control, but we lay down our lives. We depend and put our dependence upon Him and then invite Him in, the Holy Spirit in, through the Word, through fellowship, invite the Holy Spirit in to permeate every single part of our lives. Now, I can truly vouch for that. That's not easy. And that is really not the easiest things. And sometimes the Lord takes you through a desert season or a pruning season where inevitably you are going to get to know the Holy Spirit because you have no choice. It is because God is good and He loves you. And so I've been through a season like that where the Lord just pruned away of things of my heart that was not His heart. And in that place where you feel destitute, where you feel naked, where you feel alone, then you call on the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, please be that helper now. I need you. And so let's do that as we just quickly look at the person of the Holy Spirit being with us in our day-to-day life. Now, I alluded to it last week. Firstly, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. You might know that. Or you might be listening in to the service for the first time and you're like, I never knew that. And so the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. The Trinity, as we know, is God the Father, Jesus Christ His Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit might not be talking about so much, but the Holy Spirit is as much a part of the Trinity as the other two. And please know that there's an equality, I believe, between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe the Father, yes, does take lead there, but there's an equality. But in spite of an equality, there's just maybe a difference in functionality or function. And so let's not get confused, and let's not think that the Holy Spirit is by any means lesser. It is by the grace of the Lord that the Spirit helped Christ to do what He did on earth. And likewise, that Spirit has been given to us to do the things that Christ did. And we're going to look at Isaiah 61 at some stage and break that open to realize that what Christ did by the Holy Spirit, we can do again as well in this age by the Holy Spirit. I think that's pretty exciting. But let's move on. We already know now that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. We see in Matthew 28 where it just speaks of the baptism, where Christ says, go and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit gets put there in equal terms, equal footing to God the Father and the Holy Spirit. The second thing, if you look at the godliness or godness of the Holy Spirit, the second thing is that the Holy Spirit is ever present. And I think in lockdown, this is so prevalent. And we said to each other, the Spirit of the Lord cannot be locked down. So even if you, as I said last week, are in some obscure place, you feel so bitterly alone, the Holy Spirit is there with you, for God is ever present. Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10 says the following, where can I go from your Spirit? It's a rhetorical question. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? That's beautiful, guys. That's a massive promise. If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold on to me, or hold fast. And it's almost poetic, but it's true. And I think some mornings, even in lockdown, I sense a lot of spiritual pressure and people are going through tough times. There's some mornings where I struggle to get myself up. Not physically, because I'm up early, but just my heart and my faith. I struggle to get myself up. And then I need to fix my eyes on the Lord again. Remind myself that the Spirit, the Helper, is with me and He is ever present. That in spite of my feelings, in spite of feeling down, in spite of feeling alone, in spite of feeling deflated and sometimes feeling like you're boxing in the air, the Spirit is with you. And as I meditate on that, as I just take chunks from Scripture, put on some worship where somebody is soaring in the Spirit, I just feel how my heart is lifted up. And so I want to encourage you, be reminded He's part of the Trinity and He's also ever present. Ever present. Ever present. And I believe somebody needs to hear that today. He is eternal. He was there at the beginning. He is here now with us. And He is where? He is forevermore. Like Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Spirit of God is eternal. So those three things are important to remember. He's part of the Trinity. He is God, God's Spirit, God's breath. Secondly, He is everywhere. Absolutely everywhere, ever present. And lastly, He is eternal. And that is beautiful. So when we do so, when we look to the future, we know that if we do it by the Spirit, it is for eternal purpose. And so that's the one thing. And then secondly, when we look at the Word, because that's the know about that we also need to get into our systems before we grow in the intimacy of knowing the Holy Spirit. If we look at the Word of God, there's different names given to the Holy Spirit. And today we're just going to reflect on that, because wanting to know the person, you want to know their fruit or their character. And so in the Word we know that when somebody is given a name, it's just not a willy-nilly thing that's been given, but it's there for a purpose. And I believe that the names of the Holy Spirit, the references to the Holy Spirit, tells us about its fruit and about the person's character. And so that means that you can have faith and trust and build upon the names of the Holy Spirit. And so let's dig into to the scriptures so that we can know what the names are, but not only that, that our faith can grow and trust the character of Him. And so when you hear something or somebody says something that they believe to be of the Holy Spirit, you can test the character. You can ask, is this part of the character of the Spirit of God? Do I recognize that? Is it, for instance, humble, or is it haughty, prideful? And so you can discern well if something is of the Spirit and something is not. Because, guys, believe you me, it's such an important thing to discern well in this time and age to know if something is by the Holy Spirit or not. Yes, we have the Word, and we need to study the Word and make sure it's part of our heart so that we can discern well. But likewise, when something comes to us, we need to make sure that we discern well if it is of the Lord. But again, if you know about Him, it might be difficult to discern. But if you truly know Him, it will not be that difficult to discern. So the first name we see for the Holy Spirit in the Word is, guess what? The Holy Spirit. And that's also the one that we see the most in Scriptures. When you go look at the New Testament, you'll see all over, it's referred to as the Holy Spirit. And I think it's so part and parcel of our Christian culture by now that we never maybe think about it. But firstly, Spirit is breath or air, and so we know what that means. But I believe there's an emphasis on the holy part. And I think the moment I hear the word holy, I just think, I'm not holy. And so you sometimes often maybe sin conscious when you hear the word holy. But it's so much more than averse to sin or unrighteousness. Yes, firstly, we need to know that the Holy Spirit is the convictor and against sin and unrighteousness. Yes, absolutely. But holy means a bit more than that. And so let's quickly look at the definition, because I believe when He's the helper, when He's the comforter, when He's the one that comes along aside you and walks with you, we need to know what the Holy Spirit is all about. And so holy, I believe, holds for us a key to always test and discern the character and the ways of the Holy Spirit. And so firstly, Acts 2 verse 32 and 33 refers to the promised Holy Spirit. So we know it's by Scripture. And then holy is defined as the following. It's in the Hebrew, it's hagios or hagios, which means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, or religious, ceremonially consecrated. Now, in simple layman's terms, I would like to say that holy means dedicated or consecrated to God or His purposes. In other words, it's sacred and dedicated, holy onto something. Can I use a simple male example, if I may? A rugby ball is used for what? A rugby ball is used for rugby matches. Likewise, a golf ball is used for golf matches. Can't use a rugby ball for a tennis match. And so you can tongue-in-cheek say that the rugby ball is holy unto the game of rugby. And how much we miss blank touches on Sunday afternoons. But that rugby ball is not holy. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. But it's holy unto the game of rugby. In other words, it's consecrated. It's dedicated to be used only for the game of rugby. Now, that might give you a couple of hints as to what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is all about. The Holy Spirit is sacred, consecrated, we know blameless and pure, yes, absolutely against sin, but also sacred and consecrated, set aside for, I believe, the things of God. And so when we speak about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, we always need to be reminded that He is holy because He is set apart for the things of God. He will always be about what? The things of God, the things of the kingdom, the things of Christ, and the eternal things of the Lord. And that helps me to know that when I want to fellowship and get to know and truly know the Holy Spirit, it will inevitably be about the things that are sacred and holy unto to the Lord. And so also, I cannot misuse the Holy Spirit or the person of the Holy Spirit. I cannot abuse or manipulate the Holy Spirit to do and build my own kingdom, to build and do my own stuff and my selfish desires. For the Spirit is holy, consecrated, set apart for the things of God, and not to be misused so that I can do my own thing. And so you might say, well, I never sensed the Holy Spirit in that venture or in that business deal, if you're honest. And case in point is that maybe it was not about the kingdom. Maybe we were not seeking the kingdom in that business deal or in that relationship. And so that's why it was devoid of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will always be holy, consecrated, and set apart. So it's important to remember that when we hear the Holy Spirit. Practically, if we look at Isaiah 61, it speaks of Christ coming, and later on it's referred to, and he reads it himself in the synagogue in Luke. But in Isaiah 61, prophetically, it says that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, rested upon Jesus to do certain things. Again, the Holy Spirit was there with an agenda, with a heartbeat for something, with a vision for something. Let's quickly look at Isaiah 61. We're going to break this open at a later stage in quite detail, because I believe it's part of who the Lord wants us to be this year and this season. But let's just quickly read. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Now this is about Jesus, the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus to do what? Proclaim good news to the poor. What would the Holy Spirit in my life like to do? He would still like to what? Proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. So when you guys get your hands dirty, get into ministry and walk a road with people that are hurting and suffering, the Holy Spirit loves that. And you'll experience the Holy Spirit, because He was consecrated and dedicated to do exactly that, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness to the prisoners. Now you might be, and I might be, a prisoner to sin, a prisoner to something. And so when I ask the Holy Spirit, He cannot come and bless my imprisonment, my habitual sin. He can only help me do what? Get out of that, to get to freedom. And so He will always lead us, steer us, veer us away from these things, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and a day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And so there again, if you're mourning, you'll know that the Holy Spirit will be close and help you and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Beauty instead of ashes. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. The oil of joy instead of mourning. So when you're struggling to get up, when you're thinking the whole world is crumbling and you're down in the dumps, you feel depressed, know that the Holy Spirit is with you. He is holy. Why? Because He is set apart, holy unto the things of God. What is these things of God? Here's a bit of a reference. To give you oil of joy instead of mourning in the morning. And so Demi sent me something the other day, just saying that the Lord's mercy is on you every morning. In other words, God has got a grace for you every morning. And so likewise, the Holy Spirit stands next to your bed, proverbially speaking. He's in you, with you. And when the enemy and the depression and the oppression of this world wants to just come down upon you in this season, you can just come and meditate upon the Word, meditate upon the truth of the Spirit, knowing that He is holy unto the things of God, the truth of God, and He can give you oil of mourning, oil of joy instead of mourning in the morning. And that mercy of God can then lift you up to have hope for the day, to have faith for the day, and faith for the future. Moving on, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. The Holy Spirit is there, holy, to do that. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, and a display of His splendor. Maybe a quick testimony. The other day I was standing in the garage, just quickly doing something, fiddling around. And I had a moment, a weak moment, thinking like I used to maybe think more as a lawyer, thinking like, whoa, there's going to be a couple of opportunities to make a quick buck in the season, good investment opportunities if you want to make money. And I need to be honest, I'm probably not the only person that I've thought that, but I don't have the capital for that. And I was thinking aloud, just meditating, or not meditating, but maybe chatting to the Holy Spirit, as I do, and saying though, if I had money, what would I invest it in? And I clearly just distinctly sensed that the Holy Spirit just blessed my heart and said the following, like Christ speaking, saying, invest in me. And I had a moment, I was just as if my heart was arrested. I want to maybe quickly with property, this, that, and the other. And I might not say that I'm not saying that you might not be able to, by the Lord's grace, to do that, but it's not my call in this season. And he just arrested my heart and said, hey, Retief, invest in me. And I thought of heaven, I thought of eternity, and I'm like, yes, I should invest in Christ and in people and to that which is eternal for me and my house. And that's the call on my life for now. So please don't hear it for you. It was just a conviction of my heart. But it's the Holy Spirit say, hey, man, you've been consecrated. I, as the Spirit of God, is holy, investing in Christ, investing in eternity, investing in souls. And likewise, Retief, I just quickly call your heart back to be an investor in people, an investor in love, an investor in God. And so I was just convicted in that moment. Okay, second name for the Holy Spirit is very simply the Spirit of God. I think we've walked that through, and you know it by now. Apologies. Being part of the Trinity, it is also called the Spirit of God, knowing that he is part of the Godhead. Thirdly, is the Spirit of Christ that we've said last week already. So the Holy Spirit with you is the part of the Spirit, or the Spirit of Christ. And that's so good to remember when you think that the expression of Christ and his character, his virtues, ways, and values. So the expression of Christ, his virtues, values, and ways are in you. Wow, that's huge. The way Christ operated, his values, his attributes, his ways, that Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, and that Spirit of Christ lives in you and me. And that's massive. And so one can still your heart and say, I want the virtues, values, and expression. Very simply say, I want to be like Jesus. And that Spirit is in you, the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8:9 says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God lives in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And so we said last week that if you have faith in Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. And I want to just again declare over you, you have the Spirit of Christ. And so the potential of the virtues, the values, the ways, the expression of Christ Jesus lives inside of you. I want to encourage you, it lives inside of you. Believe it. Confess it with your mouth. Meditate on the Word and ask the Helper to help you to brood that out, to live that out. Because, yes, it doesn't naturally always come out of us. But remember, we're a work in progress, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And the Lord is working a deep work in all of us. And if he is the Spirit of truth, that means that he can lead you into all of the truth. Last week we looked at John 16, but let's just quickly refresh. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears will speak. And he will tell you the things to come. That's beautiful. I love that. I love prophecy and I love to know these things. He will glorify me, for he will not take of what is mine, for he will, take from what is mine and declare it to you. And so when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all of the truth. All. And if you go and look at the Hebrew meaning of all, it means all of the truth. And so I think the only prerequisite there is, do we want to know all of the truth? Do we honestly want to walk in that truth? And there we need to trust the Lord that he will open and humble our hearts so that we say, yes, Lord, I want to know your absolute truth. I don't want to build on that which is shakeable, but that which is unshakable. And so in this season, even more so, I think, than prior, it is so important to say, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, please come and reveal to me. Because even Satan used scripture against Christ in the desert. And so we need to be careful of deception. Not fearful, not anxious, but careful for deception. And we know that wisdom is rooted in the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And so don't fear the enemy. Don't fear deception. But fear God. In other words, have reverence for God's opinion. Have reverence for God's truth. Have reverence for God to be in control and Lord over our lives. And then he will lead you into all of the truth. And then ask. The word says you can ask for wisdom and the Lord will give it without finding fault. And so we can ask. Again, last week we said SOS. Are you humble enough to say, I need help? Lord, help me. All through your word, your Holy Spirit, and then the fellowship of fellow believers that are fruit bearing. Lord, please speak to me and lead me into all of the truth. You might believe something, hear something, test it. I've had an opportunity this week where somebody sent me and forwarded something and I can discern with them, referring to scripture and trusting the Holy Spirit, that have walked the road with me, not knowing about the Holy Spirit, but knowing the Holy Spirit, and then giving them a reply and seeing that there's breakthrough in their life in a particular relationship. And so I'm just thankful that the Spirit of truth will what? Lead you into all of the truth. I remember just a quick testimony. I was working as a lawyer and I got this scoop for an amazing deal. Can't mention all the details, but I could do all the contracting, on land contracting, for bringing an international internet cable to land up the west coast. And it was such a good scoop and I was so excited because the Lord's putting me on the corporate map and this is just going to open up doors for me, etc., etc. And as I just prayed about this particular deal, I saw the Titanic. And now, you know, the Titanic was a big thing back in the day, and they say it was not even God can sink the ship, but yet there was an iceberg, and that was what I saw in it, just a vision as a childlike prayer. I saw that, and in other words, the Lord was saying to me through His Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth, that what you see on above the surface is not what is the same underneath the surface of the water, so to speak, if you're thinking in light of an iceberg. And because of that, I was accountable about it, and I just realized the Lord said to me, this deal or these deals, this open door, so to speak, is not truthful and it's not for you. And I actually backed out, which looked like absolute corporate stupidity, but I backed out of that deal, and I had a way of not going on with this particular job. 2 months later, I spoke to the guy that actually opened up that door for me and gave me the opportunity, and I said, how's that going? And he said, you have no idea, but the subsidiary, the company, local company in South Africa, were bankrupt, and there was just an empty shell, and none of the contractors are being paid, and the money from overseas are being held back. And I just realized in that moment, I would have worked 2, maybe even 2.5 months non-stop on this particular deal, and I wouldn't have earned anything. I would have had to go into a major battle to get my fees out of it. And so the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, in a simple childlike picture, just showed that to me, and right at the offset of this deal to be, the Lord said, this is not of me. There's something beneath the surface that you do not know and that you cannot see with a natural eye, but the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, said there's a slang in the grass. And so the Lord actually forewarned me, and He saved me and my family from destruction. Moving on. Another name for the Holy Spirit that we see in Scripture is the Counselor, the Helper, and the Comforter. Now that is self-explanatory. The Comforter, the Counselor, and the Helper. Last week we looked at the Helper, but again, the Comforter. I need so much comfort these days. When the world is shaking and when things are unsure and when we need to do church and ministry and fight and fight for the hope of so many, I need to be comforted. And so the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God and worship, comforts me, giving me rhema words, reminding me of the things and faithfulness of God, and likewise counsels us. There's a just maybe close to my heart, once or twice where I've been through seasons where you get knocked hard and where you get disappointed. And so that's part of life, but we don't stay, we don't camp in disappointment. But when we realize there's something bleeding in my heart, there's an aina, we can say, Holy Spirit, please, you know exactly what it is. You need to know the root of this particular issue, this particular hurt. And will you please come and counsel me? Will you, through the Word and through fellow brothers and sisters, will you just come and heal my heart, heal my soul? Because I think we're quite sensitive as people. Some people might not acknowledge that, but we all are sensitively and uniquely put together, and we need the help of the Counselor, the Helper, and the Comforter. In John 16:7, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is for your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, last week we said, the Helper cannot come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And so he helps practically, but then he also comforts. He's close to us. He brings the warmth of God to us, the breath of God. And then he counsels us. When your soul is hurting, when your heart is hurting, he can help you in that. The Greek word there for the Helper is the parakletos. It literally means to come alongside. And so beautiful how it just comes alongside us. I know it can't be done these days anymore, but with the comrades back in the day, when people will just not make it, or they will fall down 10 meters, 15 meters before the end. It was so beautiful how, ironically enough and beautifully, other comrades will come and pick them up, lift them up and carry them over the line. And that's just a beautiful picture for me of the Parakletos, because sometimes I feel like that. My legs, my faith legs, just don't want to go any further. The things I face is just so hard for me that as I fall down, the Holy Spirit just comes alongside me. The Parakletos comes and lifts me up and actually just carries me over the line. And I want to encourage you, call out and say, man, my legs are hurting. I'm cramping up, Lord. But can the Parakletos come and comfort my heart? Can the helper come and help me? Can the counselor come and counsel this demakar soul of mine so that I can follow wholeheartedly after the Lord? And so you see how the names of the Lord is just stirring faith, because it shows us the character. The names of the Holy Spirit just shows us His character, His heart and His ways that is holy unto the ways of God. Quickly moving on, it's the Spirit of life. Don't want to spend too much time on this because I believe that's going to be a sermon for a different day. But that speaks of Zoe life, and it's so important because we all are seeking and yearning for life. We're running after things and thinking that they might produce life, but there's one that produces life, and it's the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 verse 12 says, Romans 8 verse 2 says, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin of death. And we will break that open on another day. But when you, in other words, feel like your death warmed up, in other words, this is no life in you, answer is very simple. The Parakletos, the helper, the comforter, is there close by to be the Spirit of life. And say, Spirit of life, where's the wellspring? Hello, where's the wellspring? Please come and help me to unblock the well again so that living waters can flow from my belly, as we've seen in John. It is also called the Spirit of Adoption. Said last week, SOS, it's the Spirit of Sonship. And so if you're confused in the season that you don't know who you are, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Adoption, giving us identity. True identity. Identity not fixed upon what you do in this life, upon who your family is, what race you are, what language, what creed you are, what nationality. No, no, no. It's much more beautiful, much more perfect than that. It's a Spirit of Adoption by whom your heart cries, your spirit cries, Abba Father, saying that you belong. My son, my daughter, I see you. You belong. And the Spirit helps us to have our true eternal identity. Because as we've seen and as we see in the season, the identities in this life can be shaken, can be taken, stripped away. But there's an identity of sonship, son being sons and daughters of God by His Holy Spirit that cannot be stripped away. And so we're getting to know the Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, help me to get to know myself and to believe that I'm a son and a daughter of God, that it be manifested to me. Number 8, it's the Spirit of Grace. Don't know if you're hard on yourself, but I sometimes am, believe it or not. And then I need the Spirit of Grace just to come and show me again the way God sees me, the way God sees a person, the way God sees a situation. And so Hebrews 10:29 says, how much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of Grace? And sure, that's quite a mouthful, and it's a hectic scripture saying that we need to hold on to and keep our faith in Christ and not throw back the grace of the Lord, throw back the salvation of Christ back into His face, so to speak, and trample upon this grace. And there it refers to the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of Grace. We know already grace is unmerited favor or unmerited grace given by God. In other words, you do not get what you deserve. In other words, you might sin and you need to be punished, but yet because of Christ, because of the work of the Spirit of Grace, your punishment is taken away, and so you are granted freedom. And then lastly, a name for the Holy Spirit, and the word is the Spirit of the Lord. Isaiah 11 verse 1 to 2, it says the following, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, referring to Jesus now prophetically. From his root, a branch will bear fruit. That branch with a capital letter, referring to Christ. And then it says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. So beautiful. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And so it says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. And then it says, it speaks about Him. It explains Him. It says, this is His character. These are His fruits. And remember, that Spirit is in you and me. the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. I don't know what you're lacking in this season. I don't know where you're at or where your heart is at. Do you feel deflated, depressed, down and out? Well, guess what? The spirit of the Lord is in you as you believe in Christ. He is also this spirit of wisdom and understanding. In other words, you will know what to do. Have faith. He is the spirit of counsel and might. You will again know how to deal with situations, what to say, and He will strengthen you, the spirit of might. And then lastly, the spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. In other words, a reverence for God and God's ways and not that of the world. In other words, not walking the high roads of life, the high roads of this world, but the narrow road of the Lord, His Word, and His Spirit. And that Spirit is in you. That's really, really encouraging. Which just brings us maybe to a close today in reflecting on who the Holy Spirit is in this time. Now, I believe that you need to make sure that you have a thirst and a hunger to get to know the Holy Spirit. And then, as we said, you need to be careful, and we need to be careful. I need to be careful not to, as we get tired, as we maybe get bogged down in this season, not to fall for the trap of merely knowing about Him and getting to know about Him in this series, but to know Him truthfully and honestly. And that's a heart cry. That's a positioning of your heart, so to speak. And only the Lord can help us with that. I want to pray with us, because I believe the Lord wants us not to know just about Him, but to know Him truthfully. And that can only happen through encounter. Lastly, I just want to reaffirm the fact that I believe knowledge of the Word and knowledge of the Holy Spirit is paramount. It's important, but it cannot only stay there. We cannot just merely build on a head knowledge. It needs to become substance in our spirit man. In other words, we need to know who He is, not perfectly, but we need to grow and study the Word and study the Holy Spirit, get to know His person. But it needs to be relational as well, that we know Him intimately, that you would know what He said to you, that you would know how He is leading you. And I want to pray for us. And so let's just quiet down our hearts as we finish off. Lord, I thank You that You did not give us a formula, a dogma, an idea, but You gave us a person of Your Holy Spirit to do life with. And like a good friendship, a family member, a close confidant, likewise, that relationship happens over time. And so, Lord, thank You that we are learning about the Holy Spirit, but in this week we will also learn to get to know You intimately, Holy Spirit. Lord, please lead us into moments, situations where we know that You're speaking to us, where we can encounter Your Spirit and Your presence, and where we can get to know Your character and Your heart. And as we get to know You, we actually get to know ourselves. And so, Lord, please take everybody that says yes to that in their heart now, take them on that journey this week to get to know the Holy Spirit intimately, to encounter His presence, to be changed ourselves, to get to know who we are in the Lord with the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are holy. Lead us in holiness. Thank You that You are the Spirit of God and of Jesus. May we see His character traits in our life. Thank You that You are the Comforter. Go and comfort everybody whose heart is crying out at this moment, who feels alone, dejected, rejected. Comfort. Please heal and restore. And please help ultimately so that we can do life in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Thank You, thank You, thank You. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord. Amen. Yeah, I just sense how the Holy Spirit is just ministering to us all. I really sense His presence. So just open up. Acknowledge if there's hunger or not. And give it to God. And as you do that, then say and maybe just agree again with the Lord that you can get to know Him and not just know about Him. And that we can know His fullness of who He is and the fullness of who we are in Him. And I just release that by faith and by the Spirit over all that says yes in their hearts. And I'm looking forward to testimonies. Let me know. Even if you've got a question or concern in your heart, please let me know. Email me, WhatsApp me, and we can fellowship together. We look forward to times of encounter again together in His presence. But until then, build on the know. Build on the know. Build on the know. God bless. Bye.